You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I am joined by my awesome co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
Asia, I know you were out partying with your friends before this, and I'm just here to tell you, you are not yet sober. So this will be an interesting podcast.
I may laugh. I might cry. I'm just here to have a good time and smile from ear to ear. So
exactly.
I have so much to say about that because that was hilarious. And I looked up where she got those 25 cent martinis. So apparently there's one place in Houston that's doing it.
Now I know where we're going when I come down there.
Right. When you finally come to Houston, that's exactly where we're going. So we are here to talk about episode 13 of season 13, and we are not alone. There's so much to unpack. So we had to have back with us Sarah Carradine. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I was out with Amy, and I might have had a martini as well, but that's okay. It's okay because I'm just so happy. I'm so happy. I'm very happy to be with you, wonderful, wonderful women. And I'd like to acknowledge that I'm talking to you today from the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Sovereignty was never ceded. A treaty was never signed. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
Awesome. So, so happy to have you with us.
Thank you. I have a lot to regret about what I said on episode 2, and a lot to feel very pleased about because yes. I got something spot on, mm-hmm. and some things that need to be doubled down on. So I'm really excited to get into all of this with you both.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm so interested to see how drastically your ratings may have changed from episode 2 to now, because so much has happened. So I guess, like, where are you right now, Sarah, with how you're feeling about this season, just up until episode 13? What are your thoughts?
Oh, so many thoughts. I think I just sent you a message at one point randomly that said, I have thoughts, so many thoughts. It feels like the season as a whole has taken a little bit of a dark turn. I mean, you do expect some people to be perhaps not particularly well matched. You do expect some people to perhaps not be on their best behaviour. It must be very exhausting. I mean, they are isolated from their friends and family. I suppose they can still text them and phone them, but they're not in their normal life. So some not so good behavior can be excused, but there's some deep systemic darkness with a couple of the contestants that, if I say I'm frightened, that's sort of overstating it a bit, but one of them in particular scares me, and the other one's just a complete, and then there's another one who's a And then there's another one who's a. So we'll get to all of that. So I think my feelings on the season were high enjoyability, particularly because I spoke to you both about it so early at the beginning. I felt I'd given my ratings. I felt sort of invested in you know, what, which of my predictions will come true and which won't. Mm-hmm. Enjoyable, some red flags, and then the whole house is on fire. So yeah. I sort of have a funny feeling about the season. I mean, I will see it out. I've found sort of solace in listening to both of you speaking about the episodes, because I feel like I'm not kind of going mad on my own watching these people in this strange experiment. So yes, I can get more detail, but that's my feeling at the moment. Unfortunately, there's darkness, but there's also this amazing, unexpected, yes, shining diamond in the middle of it, which is just such a relief.
Yes, totally agree. So, yes, I'm so excited to get into all of it. And like I said, we're talking about season 13, episode 13. If you've never seen this show, it's a show about people getting married to someone they just met at the altar. So right now at episode 13, there are less than 3 weeks left. And in episode 13, they each person sat down with either Pastor Cal or Dr. Pepper. And then we kind of got to see the fallout of that. And then they also did like a group outing playing sand volleyball. Necessary, kind of unnecessary. We can decide that. And also stick with us to the very end. We're going to have a fun little segment of present day news. So stick with us to see what we're going to talk about. So we are going to dive right in and talk about a couple who we got so little from. And that is none other than Rosé, the wonderful Rachel and Jose.
I almost forgot that. When we get to the middle of this episode, I'm like, who hasn't been on? I feel like I've only seen four people. The dog agrees.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where was Rachel and Jose? Yeah, it's so funny because I didn't realize that we didn't get any content from them until they showed up to talk to Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper. And I was like, where's Rachel and Jose in my notes? Where's their name? I'm like, oh, we have not seen anything from them up to this point. So the first sit down we get is Rachel. Well, really, the first one we got was Jose and Dr. Pepper, which I thought would be a good matchup. Because Dr. Pepper needed to be the one to call Jose out. Sarah, what did you think about how Jose?
Yeah. Okay. This is a narcissist, and a narcissist cannot generally improve or get therapy because they think that they are perfect and that everything that they do is correct. He says when he meets up with Rachel that I briefed her. So he briefed Dr. Pepper on how everything was going. That is his understanding of that meeting. So the fact that she tells him that he is at times a little bit controlling, you know, way to oversell it, Dr. Pepper, he looks at her as she says those words, and then he moves straight on to the next thing that he has to say. This is a very dangerous man. I want to say to Rachel, when people tell you who they are, you should believe them. His behavior, I've never liked him, let me say. Mm-hmm. This is the person that I feel I was right about, but I thought he was just a mild, self-involved, smug person, and I now see him as a gaslighting, dangerous, controlling narcissist. And for the narcissist, for the borderline personality, look, I can't diagnose him. I'm watching something on television. I'm really aware that it's an edited version, but I zero in on his use of words. I zero in on the way he frames things. And the argument from a few episodes ago is now framed as the time my wife left me.
Yes.
How can I be sure that she won't leave me again? Yes, we did really well for 3 weeks, and then we had an incident where my wife left me, and I don't know how to trust her not to leave me. So this is his complete reframing of what happened. And the interesting thing that he does, he's extremely clever. He does a lot of reframing. One of the things that he does is when she, in the original argument, when she says, you locked me out, and he says, it was accidental. And then it's like full stop. even if you do something accidentally, you apologize. If I bump into the wall, I apologize to the wall for having injuries. There's no one, nothing about him that feels he's done anything wrong. She is, and we saw this right from the start. She is the one that must change. She must move in with him. She must let him clean her teeth. She'll come around, he says very creepily in episode seven when she won't let him, but he says to us, oh, she'll come around. But she is the one that must change for him. And then he does a very interesting, like if you're a narcissist in training, this is really, I'm giving you some good tips. When Rachel brings out her phone to look at some notes she had made a couple of weeks before about some concerns she has, he completely ignores the concerns and zeroes in on her for not telling him 2 weeks ago. So now the event comes, you kept a secret from me. You didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell me? How can I trust you? Rather than addressing any of the things that are on her list. So I find him, I mean, I literally, the hairs on my arms are standing up. I always found him a little bit repellent, but that's just, you know, taste. But I have since found him to be, also, disclaimer, not a psychologist. I've never met him, and this is just an edited version. But yeah. I know these people, and so I'm sort of a bit on high alert. And particularly if you watch him, just watch for that reframing of everything, including when he reports to Rachel on the meeting with Dr. Pepper. He said, yes, I briefed her on what's been going on.
It blew my mind that he tried to frame it that way. Like, I could not believe the unanswered portion of the questions from to discuss it with Dr. Pepper was, how do I get my wife not to leave me? It's like, what alternate universe are you living in? I'm so confused, because he walks in, he tells Dr. Pepper everything's fine. You know, I couldn't be happier. Y'all did so well. We communicate well. And like, you know, my only concern is like, I come in here, you know, wanting to be the man to provide, and you gave me an independent woman, and I know I asked for one, but you know, I'm trying to see how, like, what's too much. And I was so glad Dr. Pepper told him, like, you have a tendency to be controlling, and you just need to view the world as your partner would. And so he just, like, his whole perception when they talked about the fight was just, when things get rough, she bounces. It's like, why are you not looking at the root of the issue? I was just like flabbergasted that Dr. Pepper didn't shift it so that he could truly realize, like, it's on him.
I wish she would have actually, I wish they could bring up footage and say, watch this back. You know, like, this is what you said is not okay. This behavior is not okay. And he didn't take anything away from that. I totally agree. He just breezed past. Like,
that would be a different show. Question.
Yep. So,
like an unfiltered style. Like, here's the monitor. We're going to play it back so you can see and not talk about it months later, but talk about it while you're within the 8 weeks so you can see how you can change things right now.
He doesn't think anything needs to change except for her. That's the problem. And then we have Rachel with Pastor Carl. And the first thing that she says is that he's perfect. Yeah. And it makes me weep.
Yes. I'm like, Rachel, sweetie, you are resorting back to everything you told us from the first few episodes of you changing yourself for the guy that you're with. Like, where is that strong woman that we saw? I think it was, episode 10, when y'all got in the argument. And you put your foot down and say, no one's going to talk to me like that. It's like she's completely forgotten and thought, like, okay, that was a one-off. We're good. Everything's roses and sunshine.
It's interesting. Episode maybe 11, where they have the sit down, she and him, and it's a bit frosty, and she's waiting for an apology. You see him. He's this trapped creature. He wants to get past it. He wants to make it okay. So he tries one way. He tries another way. She stands firm. I loved her in that moment. I love her at just generally, but I loved her in that moment. And then he finally apologizes and she says, thank you. And the insincerity of that apology is just extraordinary, but he does it in order to get through to the next step. Mm-hmm. He is not the one that needs to change. He is trying to find what she needs to hear. And I thought she was a wake up to him. I felt, you know, with her talking about, I wasn't raised to be treated like this. I don't want to be treated like this. I don't want a joint account. But he is obviously, not to me, but he's obviously very charming. And the first 3 weeks he was love bombing her on the honeymoon. And so she has been drawn back into that. And I'm scared for her, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't the most productive. I will say, going into these conversations with Pastor Cal and Dr. Pepper, I was most looking forward to Jose's conversation, Johnny, and I can't even remember, Ryan. I was about to call him Brett. And Ryan, because I was like, okay, perfect. Dr. Pepper's going to say exactly what they need to hear. They're going to finally get their true feelings out and maybe come to some realization. So this was the first of three that I was like, no, that did not give what it was supposed to give at all. Because even with Rachel and Pastor Cal's conversation, like she has these rose colored glasses, things are fine. And her only concern is, like, she doesn't know if she's doing everything that he wants her to do because he doesn't verbalize it. So she doesn't know if she's, like, checking off those boxes that he has. And she's like, she knows he has a temper because of the locking out incident. But it was like, that was it. I was like, where do we go from here?
Yeah, she says he said it was an accident and I choose to believe him.
Yeah, no. Why? He doesn't
even. Even the other men, even the other husbands said that, like, how do you accidentally, when they had a men's, you know, a men's group after that, the incident, and he tells them one after the other four men, even Ryan, who has no insight of any kind into anything, one after the other, they all said, there's just stuff missing from the story. And each of them said, you cannot accidentally lock someone out.
Exactly.
It's not like she wasn't calling, knocking on the door, you know, like he's not that heavy a sleeper. He didn't instantly fall asleep. Yeah.
Like, he knew she wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. You know, like, I don't even care. It, like, even if it were like my roommate, someone I am not bound legally to, if, you know, if I know that she's gone, I'm like, hey, maybe I shouldn't, you know, secure the premises as securely unless I know that, okay, she's for sure not coming back tonight. So just poor excuse.
Mm-hmm.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So they meet up to talk about to debrief. And Rachel thinks that the fight that they had made her realize that, like, single Rachel is gone. And she asked him about his triggers, and he said he just needs to cool off, which I'm like, dude, you had the whole night where you locked her out, and then y'all still got in an argument the next day. Like, that was more than enough time to cool off. So that was bogus. And he brings up how his parents' divorce is kind of like how he is behaving. Because of his parents' divorce, he's trying to operate differently than what he saw. And he's kind of, you see how he's like trying to like tap into his emotions, which I don't know, could have been genuine, could have not been genuine. It's really hard to tell. And so Rachel just says, like, she wants to be his wife no matter what. What are we even watching?
Good question.
I don't know. No. I mean, and literally that's it that we got from them. Like, they gave us no content at volleyball, because you can even tell from the other couples that they think that Rachel and Jose have recovered from what they went through. They're like, oh, Rachel and Jose are fine. You know, they're them.
Yes, probably within the couples, they're seen as you know, one of the successful ones. Mm-hmm. But for me, they are irredeemable. And my women, fear is that it's going to take her a while. Sorry.
They all heard what happened, you know, like they got the straight story from Rachel. So at least the women should be, you know, still raising some red flags for her if she's not following through on that.
But if she's saying to their faces, it's all good now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very hard. They don't know her. We feel like they're sort of, you know, esprit de corps. They're all in this together, but they don't know each other particularly well. And after she smashed up all that stuff and then she turns around and she says everything's fine, it would be very hard for, you know, Brett, for example, also no access to emotion, who I absolutely love Brett. I want to stage a, you know, save Brett campaign, but it would be very hard for her to say, are you sure? Do you remember what he did? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you? Like, that's not her role. Mm-hmm, and I think it would be very hard for her to do, not just Brett, you know, any of us really. If you've ever had friends in abusive relationships, it's a minefield to negotiate, because you hear, you know, you're opening the door at 1 a.m. or you get the phone call and then 2 days later, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very careful, because if you say what you really think, they're no longer going to come to you for help, and you want to be their friend. So it's tricky, let alone someone that they met, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, Amy, any other thoughts on Rachel and Jose for this episode?
No, I think they'll say yes on decision day, but we're not going to root for it, you know?
Yeah. Look, I agree. And it makes me really sad for Rachel, because I think she's fabulous. She's independent. Mm-hmm. She's funny. She knows who she is. She's sexy. She's all like a lovely package. And she will make this work until it no longer works.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to say yes as well. And it makes me very sad.
Yeah, it because it definitely, it's going to be one of those, if they say yes, they did not need to say yes. And really for her sake, I don't know. I don't know. I just hope that she really takes a good look, because I feel like this was supposed to be the final, not final, but this was supposed to be a time to really take a look at yourself and see if this is working for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like it was impactful enough for her to kind of really see, like, oh my goodness, there are a lot of warning signs. So we're going to go ahead and rate them. So on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being they are definitely saying no on decision day, 5 being they're definitely saying yes. Where would you rate them, Amy?
Oh gosh, it's so hard when you rate on that system, because it's like then they're a 5.
But I don't feel like they're, you know? I know.
Yeah, but I think they're definitely saying yes. So 5.
My goodness. You know, So, okay, where would you rate them, Sarah?
Oh, I'm with Amy. It's very difficult to give them a 5. I want to give them a minus 1, you know. but if the rating is will they say yes, I would be really surprised if they didn't. He for his pride and the fact that he's perfect, and she for the fact that she is committed and like many a person, not just women, but many a person before her, feels that her love and support will change someone who is fundamentally broken. So 5.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm going to go a 4 only because there are less than 3 weeks left. There's still an opportunity for something to happen that can kind of open her eyes a little bit more to where maybe he'll say yes and she'll realize that she needs to say no. So only because of that, I'm going to go 4.
I mean, I agree with you. If anyone says no, it's going to be her, but I just don't think she will.
Yeah. Well, for episode 2, you rated them a 2. So, but I guess you couldn't have predicted that they're going to have these, they're going to just act like nothing's wrong.
That's what I couldn't predict because I thought she was a, but you know, many of us are strong, independent people and we fall for charmers.
Yeah.
I might've also been influenced by my sort of instant reaction against him, but
You knew it. You called it.
It was something I knew.
Now we're going to switch gears to a couple that I don't think I've seen this before, where before the episode ends, they give a sneak peek for the next episode because it's just going to be that many fireworks for this couple. And we still got a preview for next week. And I was just like shocked. There's just going to be so much to unpack here. But we are going to move into Zach and Michaela. So did you catch that they aired a commercial for Unfiltered before they had their big argument at the end of the episode?
No, I was getting ads for other things on the Lifetime ads. No, I didn't see that.
You too, Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I was so annoyed because they always do during the episode, they always do these commercials for Unfiltered where Jamie says like, stick around and watch me talk to so-and-so after the episode. And then she'll give like a little sneak peek. And so, or like a little preview of what they're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said, she was like, stick around because I'm here to talk with Michaela, Johnny and Dr. Viviana, and we're going to dive into this emotional argument that Zach and Michaela had. Are they still married? And it was just like, what are you talking about? And I was thinking like, they couldn't be talking about something that happened early in the episode. And they played that twice before they got to the actual argument. So I was like, why would you spoil it like that?
Especially since they now moved, Unfiltered to after the episode, I think probably because of complaints like that.
Right. I noticed it. Yeah, it's after. So I was so annoyed by that because I was like, that totally spoils the episode. I definitely would have been way more surprised that was coming if I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, I had whiplash.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I felt probably of all the meetings, Pastor Carl and Michaela and Dr. Pepper and Zach were the most productive in that the bride and the groom were actually listening, reflecting, and then bringing back to each other what had been asked, what their thoughts were. I mean, I think particularly for Zach, he seemed to have a breakthrough. And then Whiplash, we're right back to all the same things as if nothing had ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I was totally caught off guard because they're another couple that, things are, according to them, things have been going really well the past week or so. without anything happening. So I was like, they were due for an argument. It's on par with this couple. We saw Zach sit down with Dr. Pepper. So he said, like, right now he's going back and forth between being happy or trying to convince he can't figure out if he's happy or if he's convincing himself that he's happy. Dr. Pepper tells him, like, you know, I don't believe things are meant to be. I just think things are like opportunities. And Zach starts crying because he realizes that, like, he has been a perfectionist his whole life. And he feels like he's putting that onto Michaela and putting it onto other people because he's having that mindset in this relationship. He said this last week has been amazing. And he's like really optimistic because he wants to keep that up. He just can't have this perfectionist mindset within a relationship. What did y'all think about this, revelation that he had?
I couldn't tell where he was going with this, if it was like that this was something he wanted to change or that this was something that he, it's like, this is how I am and she's mm-hmm. not going to be perfect. So.
Yeah. Cause it was like, yeah, I don't know. Cause he kept saying, I can't have this mindset in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I can't. And so when it was like, well, is it possible for you not to?
Right. What are you going to do about it? Yeah.
Or is like, you like, I know I shouldn't be eating this Oreo, but I keep doing it. Like,
Do it.
I sent Amy these apple cider spiced donuts. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Oreo flavored.
Oh my God. Amazing. Now I want a donut.
Yeah.
They've been a very, very interesting couple to watch. And despite the awful, awful next time on that we see, and I mean, I know the TV company wants drama, but I think showing Michaela like that is a real betrayal of her. Again, not a psychologist, but I wonder about her processing of the grief over her father. Mm-hmm. I love her sisters. The way that her sisters talk about her and see her is very clear-eyed. They are her absolute supporters and would obviously, you know, go through hell for her. But I think they see her quite clearly and they see her, let's say, faults quite clearly. Mm-hmm. And I think that he is young. Interesting that this perfectionism that Dr. Pepper brings up absolutely hit home for him. It wasn't like he was thinking, no, that's not right, because as soon as she said it, he was in tears. I think of that beautiful poem that he wrote with the letters of her name where she was saying Z is for this, whereas he just wove her name into mm-hmm. the poem. It was very beautiful. They laugh. Right from the start, their sort of sexual chemistry has been fantastic. So I feel sad for them when they go through these huge, I mean, they are huge bust ups, but somehow I do feel hopeful for them when it's no longer the pressure cooker, when the cameras are off, perhaps for each of them more counseling, because there's something for him that has made, he's young and yet he's quite kind of set, but he mm-hmm. can see it. So I sort of didn't quite, like you, I'm a little sort of confused and whiplashy. At the end of the episode, we have him not just looking at her. I mean, what an amazing image of him looking at the phone with her name coming up as she rings and he doesn't answer. But for some reason, I feel very hopeful about them. I think they're both really good people. I don't know them. I'm just being shown what I'm being shown mm-hmm. on television. I think her grief is very deep and it is coming out in her emotionality. Interesting that we felt perhaps when we spoke in episode two that he was too young for her. I don't think he is, because I think she is quite young, even mm-hmm. though she's 30 or however old she is. So I suppose I hope very much that it works for them. I can see why you would think one would think that it mightn't, but I can also see how it could, if they can get through. I think it might be the pressure cooker. It might be that they're not in their sort of everyday lives. And yeah. that everything is elevated. The happiness is elevated. The dates are elevated, and therefore the disagreements are elevated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm on a roller coaster with this couple, because one day I'll think, oh, they had a really good episode. And then the next I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, because we saw that slamming of the door that we're going to see next episode in the previews. But then I'm like, okay, that hasn't happened yet. So it's just kind of like, oh, we know it's coming. It's like going up the roller coaster. You know, the hill is coming, but we're still just trucking along, going up and having, you know, the fun moments like we saw last episode. But we did. So Zach sit down with Dr. Pepper, like that was the main takeaway, was his realization about his being a perfectionist. Then we saw Michaela sit down with Pastor Cal. She says she's like taking it one week at a time. And he asked her, like, why do you think y'all are mad? She said they were both goofy. They both like a challenge. They're both ambitious. They're strong headed. I was like, if you had asked, let's say, Gil this question, he would say, like, okay, he would have framed it so that he understood the balance of why they were together. She said qualities of like, why is that your best friend? We both laugh at the same jokes. We both do this. We both do that. I just didn't think it was like I didn't think that was why they were matched, which I wish Pastor Cal would have added on to that. But I know they try to like let them figure it out themselves about why they're matched. Mm-hmm. But have you ever seen that in the past, Amy? Like, have the experts ever intervened to kind of explain why a couple was matched?
I thought they had more specifics in the past. Like, you both have this, and, you know, when they really want a couple to kind of fight to be together. But mm-hmm. I did think that Pastor Cal was kind of like, well, why didn't you ask him? It's like, yeah, I didn't remember, you know?
Right. Right. He's like, wait, I don't want to confuse my couples. Mm-hmm. Her questions that she has, she tells Pastor Cal that the questions that she has for Zach are like, what was his picture of marriage coming into it? And she also wants him to just be happy. She wants him to be happy separate from her. She doesn't want to be the source of his happiness. And so Pastor Cal is just trying to get her to explain, like, so many people get into that mindset of they don't want to be the reason their partner's happy. He's like, why can't you be? Like, yeah, you don't have to be the source of all the happiness, but you can be one of the reasons that they're happy. He's like, she's basically completely disassociating herself from his happiness, which is not what she needs to be doing. So I hope that kind of helped her, if she heard that at all. I don't know. But I hope that helped.
I wonder if she did. I mean, I thought it was absolutely fascinating, just, you know, as a viewer, and just made me reflect that idea of, oh, no, I'm not responsible for your happiness. I don't want that on me. She half said, basically, if I die, you know, I don't want his happiness to have depended on me. But mm-hmm. I mean, you're not in charge of that. But I liked what he was saying about you can contribute to the happiness of your partner. And he even mentions his wife, which is kind of endearing. Mm-hmm. I'm not the source of her happiness, but I'm one of the reasons that she's happy. And to allow for Michaela really to allow herself to be that. And I thought she had caught it, because when they have their discussion, she says that she's holding back, or she talks about holding back, and he says, are you holding back? And she says, yes. Mm-hmm. And to me, for her to say that to him, to sort of admit it and to take that onto herself, I thought, oh, maybe she did listen. But then of course we get the blow up. So I don't know.
Yeah. 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 So after they both met with the experts, they sit down to kind of answer those unanswered questions. And his answer to what marriage looked like for him was that, like, he's always had this image of him and his wife cooking breakfast, listening to music, and the kids are running around. And so he just wants someone who's going to make him unbelievably happy. So I'm like, that totally goes against everything she just said with not wanting to be the source of his happiness. Like, he's coming from a place of, I want someone who can make me the happiest I've ever been. Mm-hmm. And then you have her. I don't want to be the reason he's happy. No, mm-hmm. get away. So that she definitely was like, okay, I hear you. But I see it as I want a partner, someone who we have shared goals. And, you know, this is, yeah, this is when she shares that she does have a little bit of hesitation. She does have her guard up. And he says, like, how can he make her feel more secure? And she said, just with his words and his actions. So they're kind of just like, okay, he's listening, and they're like, okay, now we can kind of like take steps forward to try to make things a little better. And that's kind of like what we leave off with prior to the group volleyball date. We didn't really get anything from either one of them except the fact that she was on the sideline cheering with Bao. So I definitely thought, because she was originally on the court, I definitely thought that she was going to like pull a, oh, I'm not doing this. But instead, she decided to, you know, have fun, thankfully. But then we come back and there's like, we get this outside shot of the apartment and they're arguing. Turns out they had a conversation about decision day. They both said if decision day was today, they would say no. And so Michaela was like, okay, well, if that's the case, I want us to sleep in separate beds. Zach is mad because he wants to sleep in the same beds. He says sleeping in separate beds will only hurt at this point. It's not going to help anything. And she's like, well, if you're going to say no, and he said, you said that too. She said, no, I said if decision day was today, I don't know what I would say on actual decision day. And he said, what? No, you said you would say no. She said, no, I said if it is today, I would say no. But on the actual decision day, I don't know what I would say. I was like, I totally hear what she's saying, but he didn't get that at all. Did you get what she was saying, Amy?
I was confused.
It was like, if decision day was today in the present, answer is no. Mm-hmm. But decision day is not today. You know, it's in 3 weeks. So she's like, I don't know what I may feel differently in 3 weeks. How I feel right now is a no today. Like if we walked in, I had to make a decision. But because we still have 3 more weeks, that could change.
I'd like to know who said no first,
right?
Because I think for both of them, I can 100% see that if the other one said, I would say no if it was today, that no matter what they felt, the other one would say, yeah, well, I'd say no as well. So yeah. I see it both ways. I would love to know who said no first, whether it was said lightly. I mean, she does a couple of times in the argument hit the fact that she says, I said I don't know about decision day.
Yeah.
So that might have been the beginning of the argument, that she didn't know about decision day. And then he might have said, well, what if it was today? What would you say? I mean, we don't know the you know, structure of the argument, the linguistic structure of the argument. But I think the underlying feeling is they're both, she's ready to be hurt and she wants to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't know how to be a grown up. And he doesn't, she's wonderful. She's a lot of woman for him. I don't say that she is a lot of woman. She's a lot of woman for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he, and they're both the babies of their family. Like position in the family is very interesting. They're both the youngest of a group of siblings. And so I think that has something to do with it. I, as I said before, I do have hopes for them as a couple, but this is a lot for them to be going through. And I think if they were dating, it would be a very different story because they could gradually walk towards each other.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Because I think this was the pettiest argument I've ever heard. Why are we arguing about a hypothetical? Like, what are we doing? What are we really doing? And like my roommate was like, they just want to feel something. They literally are just that bored. Like doing the day to day has been fine for them. But when they have felt the most passionate has been at their worst. Like when they've been in these arguments, she's like, they literally just created this argument out of thin air and to feel something. And so it was like, I was just like, okay, I get what Michaela's saying in this moment. I get her logic, but We see 30 minutes later, Zach is completely ignoring her. She's trying to talk to him, say like, are we good? He's just stopped responding and has decided that he's going home tonight because Married at First Sight has refused to not allow these people to go back to their original homes, which they really need to implement next season, because they just see it as, oh, I have an out. So it's just, he went back home.
But he's escalating. So she says, I want you in the other bedroom.
Yeah.
So he says, well, you want me in the other bedroom? I'll be in another house.
Right.
It does always seem like it's always a one-upping of something. They can't just kind of take a step back and say, okay, let's cool it a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they had a very interesting meeting with Pastor Cal some episodes ago when they were on the couch. It was quite early on in the Houston time, and Pastor Cal told him to approach her on the couch and touch her, and he did, and she turned away and rejected him, and he was like, right, okay, well, and then I'll be on the other end of the couch. Yeah. And Pastor Cal's saying, no, she wants you to touch her. She wants you to touch her. What he wasn't saying was that she's not displaying, you know, she's being childish and, you know, she's not displaying it well. She's a hurt person. And I felt that from that little nugget could have been a fantastic sort of couples therapy, a thing to work on. You know, Michaela, you can't pretend to reject him when you actually want him. And Zach, you can't bristle every time she turns her back. That's just, you know, I felt it was such a great place for them to work, because a lot of their stuff is about that. You know, she says in this episode, she says, and he says, oh, she didn't tell me that she wanted me to stay. So I went to my house, and then she moved out of the apartment because apparently it wasn't what she wanted. And this is all that exact exchange on the couch that Pastor Carl was able to help them with. And they were both sort of soft and grateful and had a revelation, but it can't just be 1 minute when they've both spent 30 years becoming the people that they have become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we see that Michaela was supposed to have a Skype meeting with his brothers, but we find out on Unfiltered that her sister canceled the meeting. So I'm guessing like her sister. Michaela told her sister about their argument. She's like, okay, well, you don't need to do this. And so Zach gets on with his brothers and tells him like he was fine. That Michaela said she was fine with him leaving. They're like, no, you know, she was lying. Like if a woman says like, okay, leave, then you know, she doesn't genuinely mean it. But he was like, okay, yeah, but she texted me right after I left, and I tried to get a picture of it so I could read it here, because it was a lot more than what he read on the show. So what she said, she said, hey, since you left the apartment, which is not what I wanted at all, when I requested a separate bed, I'm going to go ahead and move out fully tomorrow morning. We can't stop this back and forth. We're just hurting each other. For couples retreat, we can just figure out accommodations when we get more details on the location. That does not have to be drama filled. So we can honestly have a very good weekend next couple of weeks without causing any anxiety for each other. So she's saying like, hey, we're not getting along. I'm leaving. Let's just try to get through these next 3 weeks. Basically, let's just do what we need to do. We don't have to argue. We don't have to make it a thing. But what we see is that's not going to be the case.
And they do have to argue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's so different. Like, I could see that being, like, if that was something where, okay, it's someone like a Jake and Haley where they just never got along to begin with. They know they're divorcing, but it's like, okay, I'm going to move out because, you know, let's just stay out of each other's hair. We'll go to the couples retreat. We'll see this thing through. We'll get our full stipend or whatever. But this just felt like, I'm going to one-up you again. I'm going to take it to that highest level because I'm hurt. So I'm going to hurt you more. I'm going to do the extreme. Like, she just can't stop those wheels from going.
Yeah. Yeah, she even packed the seasonings.
That was the best thing.
Zach's brother was like, wow, that's okay. That's disrespectful.
Who did that before? Wasn't it Brett and
Christina and Henry, right? No.
I thought it was Brett and Olivia. One of the
yes.
Who moved out. They're like, they didn't leave me anything to make
Brett,
anything.
Yeah.
You're going to your home. You have your seasonings at home. Leave these ones for that poor person.
Right. She said, unfiltered, she said she bought them, so she was taking them. She was just taking everything that she bought. And she said she'd do it again. It's like, oh, my God.
Of course she would. Of course she would.
So basically, they end that conversation with his brothers. He says, like, he's never put that much effort into anything in his life. That is a little concerning.
Yeah, that is a little concerning because he's put virtually no effort in.
Yeah, I'm just because I see that from his perspective, it's like we're not seeing everything, but it's like we have direct comparisons here of of at least one who's putting in genuine effort and we see where that's gotten them. So it's just like, I hear you. I don't see what you're saying. but yeah, he tries to call her. She doesn't answer.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We get the sneak peek. They're at the couple's retreat. This is where all the couples are getting together. We see Michaela telling him, go home now. Like, they're sitting in the bed. She's like, go home now. Go home now. He's like, you really want me to go? She's like, go home. And so he leaves. And then I think it was Ryan's like, we can't stop him from leaving. And so he leaves. And then Michaela goes like a tornado through this poor Airbnb, I'm sure that they're at, and she's flipping over a bench. She's pushing stuff out of the way. And then it ends with like a producer trying to hold her back while she's in her room. And she like storms forward and like knocks over a wine glass and slams the door shut. What are your theories about how they got there? What happened?
Gosh, I don't even know.
Because it's like, is she assuming, or like, did he say something? I mean, because we did see that one scene too on the preview that he's like, I didn't realize being married to you was this much work. But then you see her freak out and stand up and she's like, I can't do this anymore. Okay, two things. She's either genuinely reacting to what he said, or second thing, there was a bug. And she's reacting to the bug being there because they are out in the country. And her saying, I can't do this anymore is like, I can't be out here in nature because of the insects. I'm choosing to believe the latter until I see next episode.
I think something happens as well when the couples get together. There is a lot of comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Comparison is the thief of joy. So perhaps she feels that a different man is behaving differently with their wife. Perhaps she wants something different. Perhaps she's I don't know. I think there's a lot of hurt for her and a lot of guardedness, and then it comes out, it comes boiling over, either with happiness or with just she doesn't know where to put herself or what to do. And I think it's you know, she pushes him away, deeply hoping that he will not be pushed away. I tell you to get out, and you say, I am here. Get out, don't touch me. I'm here. I'm never getting out, and I'm going to touch you, you know. But he's too young to know that, and I'm absolutely 100% not saying that, you know, you shouldn't believe people when they tell you to do or do not do things at all. So I'm sort of slightly on shaky ground here. But I could just go back to that couch moment with Pastor Cal, because he said she doesn't want me to touch her. Pastor Cal said, but she does. And Michaela nodded, yes, that she did. So she has sort of opened a door into her. I'm not saying that's not exhausting, because I don't want to just criticize the men.
Yeah, it's so hard, though, with this cast.
It's hard. I think it's not that Michaela wasn't ready. I just don't know that circumstantially this is the place for her to be on this pressure cooker. Yeah. I think that if they'd been allowed to take it slowly from the beginning, that perhaps, you know, learning, growing, being able to go apart and then come back together 3 days later, you know, talk on the phone for an hour, do those things that you do when you're first starting to date. But that hasn't been available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what the root of, like, on Michaela's side of things, I don't know where the root of it is. I just really hope that, you know, maybe this was a wake up call of, like, stemming from things like maybe, you know, earlier in her life, not even just things that have happened recently in her life, but even earlier in her life, to say, like, okay, these are why my trigger, these are why I have certain triggers. Now let's, you know, let me get, you know, it's professional help on those initial, the sources of those triggers. So going into the next relationship, I won't just have like, oh, these are my triggers, you know, if they don't end up staying together. And even if they do, it still would be very important so that she doesn't just continue to have those triggers, because, you know, it has been causing issues for both of them, and he's not perfect by any means. He has his own things to work through. But it's just like, for, I think they, I don't know. I think that they both probably were in a position where this probably was not the best thing to be signing up for.
Yes, I think it's interesting. Rather than them not being the right people for each other, I think the process is not the correct process. I mean, it looks like abandonment is a deep, you know, trigger for her. And mm-hmm. you're absolutely right. This is what professionals do. They help you with those things. You can't expect a partner, even if your partner was a counselor, you can't expect them to therapize you. You have to go and pay somebody to do it, and rightly so. And it's very helpful. So I wish the best for both of these people, and I have hopes for their relationship, but I think the process has let them both down.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another thing she said on Unfiltered was that she felt like day to day, she felt like divorce was always on the table. So it was like she felt like she always had to be perfect. She had to be, you know, like, on top of things all the time, because she was like, if she does one thing wrong, she felt like divorce was an option. And so Dr. Viviana was there, and she's just kind of shaking her head like, yeah, that is not any way to be.
Which I think reminds me of another couple that we haven't talked about yet, but Johnny and Bao. Like, I feel like that's how Johnny's treating Bao.
Yeah, exactly. What would you guys rate this couple?
It's their teasing, like, are they even together for Unfiltered?
Yeah,
exactly. I would go with a one.
Yes.
We're looking at a relationship from the outside. I don't know. I'm hopeful. I feel like I rated them quite highly at the beginning, or you'll tell me if I didn't.
Yes, you did a 4.
Yeah, I'm going to give them a 3 now. Mm-hmm. Because even though those arguments look absolutely dreadful, and they are, and they're horrible to be around and they're horrible to be in, there may be an excitement that is created between them through those arguments. And I hate to say that because it's not a good way to be people.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them a 3. If I hadn't heard about Unfiltered, I would think there's a possibility that they will say yes on decision day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go right in the middle of you guys and do a 2. Not you guys. You ladies. <right. laughs> I'm going to go a 2 because I think there's still, I think that it's maybe wild to say, but I think there's still a chance that they could stay together if they're able to be on one of their highs by the time decision day comes. So let's say 3 weeks left. They have this big argument at the retreat. Things are going to be bad for like maybe a week. Then they'll go back up and then maybe be able to maintain until decision day. And then they'll be fooled into thinking, oh, we're great. We're fine. But with the way things are right now on this episode, yeah, it's not looking good. So now we're going to go into a couple that, the word count for the husband in this couple is probably 10 words
for the whole season.
Oh yeah. Right. It's like one word an episode and then he had a few episodes with no words. Let's just go ahead and get Brett and Ryan out of the way. We start off with him recording the mess she's made in the bedroom and bathroom again. Like, this is a new camera shot. What are you going to say?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I felt very seen. Brett and I are as one in terms of our tidiness. Mm-hmm. It's not dirty. It's untidy. These are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And she's not in her own home, or although I think we did go into her own home in episode 1 and she's not the tidiest person. I have very little to say about either of them. I feel sorry for her. I feel slightly less sorry for him. He has those dead shark eyes with no emotion behind them. He's not very nice. I mean, he's not unpleasant. It's not awful, but he's not very nice. This is doomed, doomed, doomed. This is a 0, this relationship. She has decided to commit and be positive, but she's also unable to. They're both very white. They are both completely unable to say anything of any substance, really, either to the camera or to each other. Right. And I think Brett should get out of there and find someone fun. And I think that there is no way that Ryan will ever have a long-term relationship with anybody ever. Yeah. Now, a few episodes ago, did I see a next time on that we haven't seen?
It yes. Yes.
About him being on the dating app. Mm-hmm. I might have let that color my judgment of him, but I think I've never liked him. I've always sort of quite liked her, mm-hmm. but again, not wanting to put everything onto the grooms today, I will say that what she bears is that she is not calling him out on anything. Yes, it shouldn't be her job.
Yeah, yeah.
However, she is not stating clearly what she needs from him, mm-hmm. and they're just not suited to each other. Brett has a sadness about her, and this is before the sadness of her dog. She has a sadness about her that I wonder about, and she's different around the women, either her friends or the other women. She has a vivacity to her that either she's suppressing or she feels she can't express around him. Having said I had nothing to say about them, I've said quite a bit, but that's probably all I want to say about them.
Yeah, this Ryan specifically, I mean, multiple Ryan, Johnny, Jose, they all make me feel like this would be unmatchables if they actually match the people and let it play out. Like, they legit could be an unmatchable person, but somehow they match them and we're seeing it play out. But it's like, it's not even that their partner isn't a good match for them. You can put 100 women in front of them and you can tell them, go at it. Find your perfect match out of these 100 women. And they'd walk away like, what could I do? There was no one.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just, I didn't feel a spark. But, yeah, I looked them all in the eyes and I didn't feel a spark.
I don't know.
Just like, oh my gosh.
I mean, poor Brett, at her wedding, his friend said, you're not his type.
Mm-hmm.
At her wedding.
Yes.
It's like, oh, I mean, I would, Jose, I can see applying, but Johnny and Ryan, I feel like, why are they there? Were they recruited?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could totally see that too. So we did see Ryan talking to Johnny. And
the worst.
It's the blind leading the blind.
I call them the negativity bros.
Yes.
This total bro down of negativity.
It was terrible. Like, Ryan is just like, okay, I can't force it anymore. Like, I feel bad because she's done nothing wrong, but I just can't force it. I just don't feel those feelings. And he's just being so negative that Johnny, of all people, his negative twin is like, well, do you think you could ignore the negatives and maybe focus on the positives? And Ryan's like, no, that's not possible. Like, I have to be realistic. Life doesn't work that way. You can't just go through life disregarding the bad.
It's just like, well, what?
Oh my, I'm like, you don't know anything positive about Brett because you haven't taken the time to get to know her.
He doesn't even look at her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He literally doesn't look at her. One of my favorite moments in the episode was Dr. Pepper barely covering up how cross she was with Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan, you know, saying like, oh, I said I was kind of afraid of Dr. Pepper. Well, it's like, of course they're going to put you with her. And I kind of noticed that. I think it was kind of, did she get matched with everyone who's kind of the more problematic, the more troublesome
mm-hmm.
in the relationship? It was like four guys and then Mirla.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, okay, with Gil and Mirla, I think Mirla might need the the big dogs with Dr. Pepper. But yeah, she got all the men.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we saw her we saw Ryan talk to Dr. Pepper, and he was like, okay, I anticipate like a little bit of negativity going through this because of how I've handled this process. It's like, you're very self-aware and you're actively choosing not to change anything. And so he tells Dr. Pepper, like, he's realized how he felt after Dr. Viviana's visit. And he says, like, for them, communication can be an issue. And Dr. Pepper was like, well, I noticed you're like, you're making this checklist of things you don't like and things that are wrong, but you're not telling her. And Dr. Pepper was like, I doubt y'all even know each other yet. So let me just see you try. And he's okay. Yeah. I promise to put in more effort. Like, why are you lying directly to Dr. Pepper's face?
Because she scares him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the kid on the group project that does the bare minimum, but then the teacher calls him out. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, I'm working on it.
Right.
He just wants to make it the finish line.
Yes.
Yeah. He and Johnny have a lot of parallels, and we'll certainly speak about Johnny about at least Ryan isn't. Well, I was going to say at least he isn't actively cruel, but in a way he is actively cruel because he is just waiting it out. Mm-hmm. He knows what his answer is going to be. He has no interest in her. And so I suppose he's passively cruel in that he doesn't say that he wishes he was matched with literally anybody else.
Yeah.
However, he shows her that even after Baxter was sadly went over the Rainbow Bridge, he was, oh, you still wanted to go ahead with the date. Why didn't you take the reins and say, exactly, darling, I'm so happy that you wanted to go ahead with, I'm so touched. But what I'm going to do is you're going to have a bath, you're going to put on your pajamas, you're going to sit on the sofa, and I'm going to wait on you hand and foot because that's what you need. Thank you so much for saying that you would go on the date. But instead he's like, oh, so great that you still wanted to go on the date. It's like, buddy. Get an emotion, please. It's not like he doesn't have a dog.
Right. It's, you would think he totally understood.
Yeah, the dogs agree.
It's so wild. They like never are this rowdy around recording time, and they're not even in this room. They're in the other room. I'm like in a room with the door closed, and they're just like, "Can you hear me?"
I love them.
Right.
So Ryan and Brett for me is a zero. I don't know what she's going to say on decision day. I sort of sadly feel like she might say yes, but she's just waiting. I mean, she even tells us she's basically waiting for him to tell her it's over. I wish that she, for her own self and her own self-esteem, would tell him. However, there's no way in hell that he's saying yes on decision day.
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah. Like if they told him day four, what's your decision? He would be like, okay, please. No.
No.
He's prepped everyone. Like it's like you tell that Johnny knew, his sister knew. And
everyone except for Brett.
Well, Brett actually does know as well.
Right. But he is just like, he thinks she doesn't know.
Because
he thinks he's sparing her feelings.
Even Pastor Cal was asking Brett, like, ask him, when did he check out? It's like,
yes. It's like he literally gives her the script. Tell him when did he or she, he was like, ask him, when did he give up in this marriage, and ask him what he pictured in a wife? Because she tells him like they haven't had any intimate conversations, or they don't have intimate conversations, and she just wants it to kind of get back to where they were at the honeymoon. So then they meet up. And we were like, yes, but this is time. She, you know, she's over it at this point, or it seems like she's over it at this point. Why not just ask him? And so it's just like the moment is here. It's in front of your face. He's asking, how did it go with Pastor Cal? And she does it, like literally gives an 1 hour ago and shows the flashback of Pastor Kyle saying, here, say these words. And she does not ask. Why?
Because she's got the perfect framing. How did it go? Well, Pastor Carl told me to ask you
this.
And I just, the sad thing is she knows it's over, but she won't say it. She's waiting for him to, if you don't want to be with me, tell me. Well, how about you don't want to be with him?
Right. Exactly. Why? She's totally putting the power in his hands. And it's like she knows she doesn't know him well enough for her to want to choose him. So let that be it, too. You know, I don't understand why she's not focused on her own needs as well. But I mean, she does tell him like she's feeling disconnected, and he kind of turns that on her and just like, okay, so we just stop trying. We stop changing anything. She's like, that's not what I said. It's like, why are you flipping this situation? It's like Jose behavior, like totally not focusing on why are y'all disconnected? Oh, it's because y'all probably only have conversations when the camera's around. And so it was annoying because the closest that she got to Pastor Cal's questions was, she's like, I just like, you know, I would really like to know, like, are you ready to like continue this or not? Like, which way are you going? And he says no response, and they like go to commercial.
Yeah.
Boo.
It's always him just staring off into space. And
yes.
Again, like, just terrible casting.
Yes. But you could tell, like, I could tell. I was like, what is, I know we're always asking, what is it about him? But when he sat down with Dr. Pepper, he lit up. He was this new Ryan that we don't ever see with Brett. And he was interview Ryan. And I was like, that's who was interviewing. That's who got himself on Married at First Sight. Because that's not who he is on a day-to-day basis. So. Yeah. Ugh. I thought Johnny was the one that made me most annoyed of this bunch, but Brett does sit down with Ryan's sister, and Ryan is just, I mean, Brett is like, I need help. Like, I know we're not each other's type. I just don't know how to get to know him. She's like, I feel like he's not interested at all. Like the good times only lasted a week after the honeymoon. And the sister was like, well, maybe getting back to Houston, he realized it was bringing back feelings for someone else. I was like, whoa.
That felt like some Alexa, inside info.
Yeah.
Right.
Alexa knows something, and Alexa was hinting to Brett. Mm-hmm. She couldn't tell her in so many words, but she basically told her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know. And I don't know if like that preview we saw about him being on a dating app is going to be like maybe after the retreat, because it seemed like they were in an apartment when they had that conversation. And I also feel like that would have made like the preview if it were next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a red herring. They took it out of context and it's actually a red herring.
Yeah, I hope not. There were so many words. Like, you matched with my friend.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah. It's like, unless they're like matching outfits.
Unless she says, you know what would be terrible would be
right
if you but Alexa, you know, confirms it in a way, because Alexa basically says to Brett, there is someone else.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, are we gonna figure that out? And then at the group volleyball, Brett reveals she's at a breaking point, which no surprise there, in that she could tell that Pastor Cal was like pissed about their situation. But yeah, nothing really on the preview, nothing really from them on the retreat, which is not surprising. So I'm going to go ahead and rate them a 1. What about you, Sarah?
If there was lower than 1, I would give it.
Yeah.
Once across the board.
Yeah. They're just, I mean, I would prefer, I remember we had a couple, a couple 2 seasons ago with Brett and Olivia, with Brett just like completely checking out, deciding I'm done. Then we didn't have to keep up with them all season. It was over. You know, uh-huh. I was fine with that. Like, if you know it's over, why are you dragging her along? I don't get it.
I don't think there's anyone that he would find acceptable. And I hope that Brett, I mean, she waited 2 years for that. at least they haven't had sex. Or have they had sex? I don't
know. No, they remember. Haven't.
No, yeah, that's at least that.
Yeah, I don't even know the last time they kissed.
Yeah, I hope that she finds, I hope they all find joy, but I hope that Brett finds some joy. But she is complicit in this situation very much.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we have 2 couples left. So we're going to go, so that we can end on a positive note, we are going to go with...
Spoiler!
Right. We are going to go with a pretty dynamic couple. Next, so none other than Johnny and Belle. Oh gosh. So
I think I need a 25-cent martini to get through Johnny and Belle.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So he like I said, during Brett and Ryan, he met up with Ryan. He said, like, the past few days have been fun, because after he told Bao he needed more effort, she planned all these dates. So they went bowling. He said it felt so natural. It wasn't forced. And he's like, and I feel like she's really trying, but it almost feels like she's trying too hard. I literally was like, screamed at the TV. I was like, are you kidding me? You literally wanted her to try, and now she's trying too hard. It is true. He is upset if she breathes at this point, because nothing is going to make him happy when it comes to Bao.
And I mean, I'm sure we'll get into the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts, but my overview of Johnny is he wants it to be over and he wants it to be her fault.
Yes, absolutely.
So whatever happens, it must be her fault. You know, and as you said last week, if she said good morning, he'd say, why does it have to be a good morning? Bow, 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 bow. What are you doing to me? What are you, why do I have to have a good morning? You know, and this is active cruelty. Apart from the things that he says to her that are extraordinary and he, as far as we know, hasn't apologized for, his active cruelty is that he knows it's a no, but he wants it to be her fault so that he is faultless.
Yep.
He needs to be faultless in the eventual breakup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why he gets so mad and he's like, Val just wants to be perfect in front of the camera. She's just making me look bad. She just wants me to look like the bad guy. I'm like, you're the one. You're projecting at this point. You're the one who wants to look perfect in front of the camera by saying you're putting in 150% of effort. Like, I would hate to see what his 200% of effort is, because 150 is nothing on this Johnny standard.
I mean, an absolute encapsulation of this is they're in bed. Johnny's taken the sex out of the relationship, and you can see that the pillow's back between them. And he says very calmly that he wants to build a basis on these things. She responds, and he immediately blows up that she has now, they've had a good week, and she has now, the entire week's, you've ruined the entire week. You're throwing the entire week out the window, goes off to the bathroom, bow, 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 he's saying, not to her. And she's just in the bed like, well, what happened? He said what he thought.
I said what I thought,
and I virtually agreed with him, and suddenly, oh, the whole week's out the window. You're throwing it out the window. What have you done? What have you done? What have you done to us?
Right. But he needs the basics. Trust, communication, and friendship. And they're all lacking. And she totally disagrees because she's like, I feel like, you know, if you're thinking friendship, which he does say on Unfiltered, is like he felt like he made a mistake by saying friendship because he thinks that that's what she like clinged on to and thought like, OK, she's going to take back petals now because I'm saying friends. And I love that Dr. Viviana chimed in on Unfiltered and was like, no, if issues like that can work. Backpedaling and saying like, let's start from the basics at friendship. But if one person thinks the other person is only doing that to only take more steps backwards, then that's not going to work, which is totally the case with Bao. Like she only thinks he's doing that because he eventually wants to get to a point where like, no, it's going to be a no for me on decision day. So it was this conversation in the bed was ridiculous because like, they talk it like she's like, what about like Dr. Viviana's advice? And he's like, well, I don't feel anything from the intimacy that we have. And she is frustrated because there was a spark at one point. And so like, he's like, well, look, for me, take the physical out. That's what works for me. And she's like, well, what about for me? And that's that trigger point that made him storm out of bed, say her name repeatedly. She's like, we don't have to do this. And he's like, this is insane. So for Johnny, this is insane for Bao to consider her own feelings, for her to think about her part in the marriage and what she needs, because all he does is focus on what he needs day in and day out. It's what he needs. She's not doing this for me. She's not doing that for me. I don't feel anything this. I don't feel any of that. When has Johnny ever taken a step back and say, what can I do for Bao to make sure that she's happy, that she's getting what she needs? Never.
Maybe the honeymoon
I was thinking about that picnic, but the thing is he didn't plan that date, the producers did.
Yeah.
So, you know. Yes, he is not ready for this, and I don't think he ever will be. I think he and Ryan are the negativity bros, should marry each other because they are not going to find a woman that they will accept or that will put up with their shit, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think is this like Aaron and James, Amy?
Oh yeah,
Bachelor Paradise.
They just found each other.
Yeah.
They don't even have the motivation to put any of their effort in. Yeah, right. I think they both, I think, are victim to that sort of magical thinking that some of these cast members have before mm-hmm. the wedding day, where it's like, I'm going to have this blank slate and we're going to start the marriage and they're going to find the perfect person for me. And it always means it's going to be like their physical, you know, who they envision mm-hmm. as like perfect for them. Like maybe for Ryan, he didn't know if it would be a blonde or a brunette, but it was going to be one of the two. And it was just, he yeah. had this perfect idea and she doesn't fit that. So it's done. And Johnny's using that excuse like, well, we already knew each other and it didn't happen 15 years ago, so it's not going to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
I already met you and rejected you, so what are you doing here? Which was right. which is not what he said on the wedding day.
Yeah, exactly.
He was thrilled that he knew her. He loved mm-hmm. that he knew her, you know. And now it's somehow her fault that he knew her 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. She is the one at fault for having been known, you know, 15 years ago. So she didn't even paint correctly.
Yeah. It's always something. Always. Mm-hmm. And it was so frustrating, this whole conversation, because yeah, he thought the great 1 week of lighthearted dates that he had just down the drain. It's all a wash. And Val's just like, look, if Johnny doesn't get figure this out, like, I don't think we can work through this. So Johnny met with Dr. Pepper and he jumps right into it. And he was like, I just feel like I'm not the person I want to be when I'm with her. It's like, you're doing that. Why are you blaming her for how you're behaving?
He wanted to get Dr. Pepper on side. He wanted Dr. Pepper to be the jury of the relationship and to find him to be completely faultless. And I think he was quite shocked to be called out very mildly, if I may say so, by mm-hmm. Dr. Pepper. And I had a thought that I think this was the program and the experts and the program and the producers' golden couple. I feel like they felt this was their, you know, slam dunk. This is going to be our great success. These are the flagship couple. Mm-hmm. And I think there's disappointment's the wrong word. I think they've had to pivot to another couple that I think they didn't put together necessarily for the best right. possible reasons that has fooled them by becoming sort of the gold standard instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Like even we thought that early in the mm-hmm. season, like absolutely. It just like, it made so much sense. Their wedding, mm-hmm. like they both had planned the same type of ceremony. Like they had the same roots, especially culturally. And it just felt like a great match. Maybe like, okay, you know, I know we're going to get into it even when they meet up after these two visits, but like him saying we met 15 years ago and there was no spark. I'm sorry, 15 years ago, like who I was 15 years ago would not be someone who is compatible with someone I would meet today and would be like a good match for today. Like if you have not grown and just evolved in the past 15 years, like what is he thinking? Like, oh, if we got together then, like we wouldn't have been together for the, like we would have gotten married and then it wouldn't have worked out. He's just like, he is in his own way. Like, what are you even thinking?
There was a spark because he asked her out on a date. Right. But she was not sure whether it was a friend date or a date date, mm-hmm. but he asked her out. There was a yeah. spark. You liar, you gaslighter.
Yeah.
Another man that's rearranging the narrative so that he is blameless.
Yeah.
Sorry, Johnny is a huge creep. I don't think he's yeah. dangerous in the way that I think Jose is, but he is mm-hmm. a huge creep and should be avoided at all costs.
Mm-hmm. It's his behavior alone has just been detrimental to their whole marriage. That's why, like, I feel so bad for Bao, but, like, during his conversation with Dr. Pepper, he's like, we don't argue well. And Dr. Pepper was like, isn't that something you can change? And he just tenses up because all of a sudden it's not what he wants to hear. And so he does admit, like, when they have problems, he doesn't try to fix them. He just tries to fix the source of, like, why they're even having the problem in the first place. And he, like, he says, like, okay, thank you for all your ideas. I'm definitely going to implement some of them. I was like, stop. What are you doing?
You see, he even frames the way that he argues as the superior way to argue. Mm-hmm. I don't have the argument that we're having. I am having the argument. I am having the underlying argument. Don't you see how well and how balanced I am as an arguer? He was so closed off from her. His whole face was clamped down. He was like naughty boy being told off. And he was mm-hmm. thinking the entire time, I'm just going to sit here until she stops talking. And he does that to Bao as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just his method of communicating, and he doesn't see anything wrong with it. So then we see Bao talking to Pastor Cal, and she says she feels checked out, and she feels like she married a man who wasn't ready for marriage. And I was like, ding, ding, ding. That's absolutely it. She doesn't feel appreciated. She feels like he's already 80% out. And, you know, we get that flashback to all the terrible things he has said to her. She's at a point where she doesn't understand why he's cutting her down constantly. And she doesn't feel like he has the emotional maturity to be a husband and a father. And so, like, Pastor Cal is just basically letting her vent, because what do you say at this point? You know, what action items are there for Bao? But he does basically say, like, because what she tells us at, like, during the volleyball was that the ball is in his court. There's nothing she can do at this point.
I'm glad that she thinks that. I'm glad that she, rather than continually trying to change herself mm-hmm. any further to be acceptable to him, she got the steel in her eyes in this episode, and I was very pleased to see it. I think the only thing to be done at this point is for the experts to apologize to her, frankly.
Yes, let's have a sit down and figure this out.
I love when she's just like, I feel like he's cheated me out of a perfectly good marriage. Like it was like a plum or something. Like he just wasted this, you know, but like it's just kind of her practicality, I think, coming through. But
yes,
Unfiltered was so weird to me, though, because it seems so like against Bao, like even Michaela was coming against Bao, so like she's a different person behind the scenes, and I just don't see that to that degree at all.
Right, like Johnny was saying, she's a Debbie Downer when they're alone. I'm like, in what way?
Right,
well, she says, like, you know, she cooks gourmet meals when she never does,
or that she complains about him all the time to everyone else. And then Michaela was alluding to that too.
Yeah, she was like, yeah, she always talks down about Johnny. I was like, Michaela, what are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, she does. Look, we all try and put ourselves in the best light. Of course we do. But I don't, I mean, you did talk about it last week. When she says, I cook gourmet meals, she's not saying you don't. She's saying, I do, you know, she's saying, I do it. And he takes all of those things as, well, what do you think I do? Well, what are you saying I don't? She can't win. I loved her meal prepping. And I love that they haven't shown us that. They've let us wonder which side of the story is correct. Bao saying that she does the meal prepping and Johnny saying that she doesn't do it until this episode, where we see her furious at having been told not to come to a family event, but nonetheless meal prepping. And you go, oh, yeah, she does do it. Right. She does do it, and he doesn't see it. Now, I have a secret fantasy show that I want to pitch to both of you. Michaela's sisters and Johnny's aunt.
Yes.
Johnny's aunt gave him the rounds of the kitchen. So I thought, oh, there's somebody else in Johnny's life that sees him exactly for who he is, and it's his marvelous aunt. So I think she and Michaela's sisters could have a hilarious, fabulous, I don't know, travel show or a food show or something. something. And the other show that I want to pitch is me coming to Houston and us going to each venue of each of the dates.
Yes. Yeah. I need to make this list from all my notes.
Yep.
Yes.
So we know the best season to come, like if there's any seasonal closures. Yep.
That's right. Well, you know, summer is basically February to November here. So the weather is fine anytime. We probably get a day or two of winter. So, well, speaking of places.
Amy, I'll see you there.
Yeah.
Yes. February sounds good to me. Get out of the cold.
Oh, yeah. You could escape. The invitation is always open. So speaking of places that, you know, that we've seen on the show, they went to Tenfold Coffee, which has definitely been on my list to try. I've heard of it. It's not far from me, but that's where Bao and Johnny met up to do like their debrief. And she tells him she doesn't know how he's feeling. And he said he does regret some of the things that he has said and he's sorry, which it's like you said them because you meant them. And she says, you know, sometimes she felt like she just wants to be able to say anything that's on her mind and not feel judged. And he kind of like looked at her like questioning. And he asked how she can be more present. And she's like, well, I have been, and I just don't want to be talked to like you have been talking to me, basically. And he said she asked the question about like, you know, what he saw in a marriage or what he saw for his marriage. And he said he was ready for marriage, but on a clean slate. He's like, the fact that they went into this knowing each other. I went into this knowing I wasn't attracted to you back then. And we had no chemistry back then. I'm like, did that really just come out of your mouth after you told Dr. Pepper that you were going to not be saying things like this, and then you just turn around and just hit her where it hurts? Like, why are these things necessary for him to say?
They're completely designed to hurt. And mm-hmm. We're going to have Merla say this, but of course I love her, so she can say whatever she wants. But this idea of, but I'm just being honest, you don't have to say it. You don't have to say it. Yes, don't say the opposite. I'm attracted to you when I'm not attracted to you, or whatever it might be, or there's no sound of the ocean. My pool's better than this pool. Our neighbors are very close. I love that sequence of Merla's negativity because I love her, so I loved it. But this defense that people have for being cruel is incredibly self-serving. I'm just being honest. I'm just telling you how I feel, that I would literally be married to any other woman or dog in the entire world, or man in the entire world, than you. That, you know, you are sullied. I mean, he virtually told her she was sullied. It was quite disgusting, extremely old-fashioned, and a very strange idea. I mean, it's not like they had sex, but this idea that she was dirty or secondhand because he had known her 15 years ago. It's so peculiar. I think the man has deep problems about women.
Yeah.
In his mind somewhere.
So he was like, if we had chemistry or I was attracted to you, we would have gone on a second date. And it's just like, Johnny, what do you expect for her to say to that? Mm-hmm. How do you expect to move forward? Because even she says, like, where do we go from here? Because it feels like there's nowhere to go.
I didn't want Bao to come to the family cookout because I didn't want her to like them and them to like her when I don't even like her. She's right there.
He doesn't want his family to call him out on his BS because they're going to say that. Yeah, she's level-headed and you're pushing her away.
Yeah, because he knows that that his family would see her as a catch, and he doesn't want to hear that. They did the group volleyball thing, and Bao wasn't there initially, but then she showed up in a cheerleader outfit, and he comes up and gives her a hug. And she's just like, what? Johnny out of nowhere comes up and gives me a hug. What is this? And I'm like, all for looks, because they're in front of the couples. But she does tell Mirla and Brett, like, Johnny is just mean. And Johnny tells Zach and Gil that he gets these little glimpses of joy, but he doesn't in the day of day, the day to day living in the apartment together. And it's just like, ugh, just leave already. We all know that you don't want to be in this. You're not fooling us at all. Bao knows you don't want to be in this. So leave. Why are you still sticking around? I used to have so much hope for them.
Because he needs it to be her fault.
Yep.
He needs her to be the one. Well, I tried everything, but she walked away.
Yep.
Exactly. I was ready to do it, but she walked away. She was the one that said no. Mm-hmm. He cannot be the one to break this relationship. So his entire modus operandi, and that's how he can be so cruel.
Yeah.
Because that should make her say, okay, that's it, I'm out of here. Well, I did everything I possibly could.
Right.
It wasn't my fault. And he is enraged that she is understanding. He is enraged that she is compassionate. He's enraged that she is very calm. I mean, that's also perhaps a slight fault of Bao's, that she is, you know, is taking this, but she still sees the hope that we all saw in episode two.
Yeah.
And that the experts saw. And it turns out he's not that person. At the towards the end of the volleyball scene, Brett says, whether it's to the other people she's with, to Bao and Mirla or to us, she says, some view this is a real marriage and some don't. And when she says and some don't, we get two quick camera close-ups, one on Johnny and one on Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to one of my friends about this. It's like, okay, what's broken? Because I feel like in the earlier seasons, the show itself was controversial because people were like, oh, you know, they're getting married and they don't know each other. Like, what? Marriage is real. But then, like, as the show has gone on and we're now in the 13th season, it's like these people think of divorce just like, that's like, you know, am I going to, you know, eat out today or not? You know, I'll go ahead and spend the money. I'll go ahead and get divorced. It's like such an easy decision. Like, do you feel like, Amy, do you feel like they're taking it a little bit lighter than they used to in the earlier seasons?
Yeah, I think, and we can see this on The Bachelor too. I think influencer culture, not that this show gets a huge audience, but I just think that it's sort of like that boom of when reality TV first happened. It mm-hmm. just want to be on TV and okay, this is, yeah, it's a real marriage, but you know, is it going to be viewed like that? If
yeah.
you know, I don't click with the person and nothing happens and we just get a trip out of it and some money, you know, I think people are turning to it for other reasons.
Yeah. It's not like they're seeing like, oh, if I'm divorced, then they're like, well, it's because I was just on that show. It's not because I was in a real marriage.
It's interesting because, you know, Jose, who I loathe with every fiber of my being, I actually think he actually does want a marriage. And he did come to this show for a wife, for a mm-hmm. marriage, and has no intention of getting divorced. Not to go on about him anymore, but you know, he had everything set up. He had his whole life set up now, ready for a wife. He goes to this show to get a wife. And I think that the others are in various ways, either fully in it or not fully in it. But I think mm-hmm. strangely, he is the one that is the most committed to the idea of a marriage. I think Bao probably the next most committed.
Well, outside of Gil and Mirla.
Oh, yeah. Well,
okay. So. they're too far ahead to even be in the same conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah. So before we rate them and transition off of Johnny and Bao, Amy, who gets the trophy for the worst husband, Johnny or Chris from last season?
I mean, I don't think you can top Chris. I just don't. Like, I just, you know, he was not in it from the beginning, and the things mm-hmm. that went on behind the scenes.
I've seen stuff on, like, I've seen the conversation happening on Twitter, people comparing. And I, at first I was like, whoa, 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 that's drastic. But the more I see of Johnny, I'm like, there is an argument that could be made because, okay, yes, Chris was bad because of the situation. He got his ex pregnant right before he got married. And so he was checked out from the beginning. But did he make it to decision day? He did. Did him and Paige have this back and forth, like, just terrible situation? Yes. But I don't think, yes, okay, there were moments where he definitely tore Paige down, but there were also just the lighthearted moments. And I think it was for him, I think it was, he would say things to make Paige feel bad, not intentionally to make Paige feel bad, but because he literally was not in it and it was disassociating. I feel like the intent behind Johnny is to be malicious and to be hurtful and to bow down to a point to where what Sarah, you're saying is like to make Bao be the one to walk away. He's like, he is intentionally, actively like tearing her down, saying these things that are so hurtful, just total disregard to her feelings, no care in the world. Just, I'm just going to say whatever that comes to my mind. And I'm going to just go out of my way to make sure that she wants out of this so she could be the one to step away. It's just, it's so malicious to the point that it can be compared to that just wild scenario we saw with Chris. So I don't know. I think he's definitely in the category of worst husbands there. I mean, I looked up Jason messaged me and was like, y'all definitely need to rank the worst husbands in Married at First Sight history. So that's definitely something we can revisit so like the reunion. I know we can revisit that like when we do the reunion, but there's like a solid six, not including Johnny and Chris.
That's a good off-season podcast, maybe. Jason can join us, and you know, it's like you bring them and you do that ranked list, like you're saying, like you just introduce one, say what they did, and then you have to decide, does this one go above or below?
Exactly. So it's just, oh my God, which is just, I mean, I know it's, there are two people in a marriage, but it's very rare that we see a situation where, oh my gosh, she's the worst wife. It's usually what we've seen with the extremes, at least, have been these these husbands in the past.
You know, when you get like a wife that is not great, then you get like the spinoff show and then it reveals that you are not that great either.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Just a little slight reference to David and Ashley.
Yeah.
So let's see. Okay. Rating Johnny and Bao. What would you rate them, Sarah?
-100. What did I rate them? Probably a 4 or a 5 on.
Yeah. You were a 5. We were straight 5s that episode. Yeah.
Wow.
Things have changed.
Yes. We didn't realize that he was the person that he was. Yeah. And probably the experts didn't as well. I imagine that I wouldn't be surprised if he was a recruit, but either way, he would have presented very well in interviews and been sort of light. And I do believe that he thought he was ready and that he had an excitement about being on the show, if not meeting a wife. And I think that he is an awful person and I wish the best for her. She might speak out earlier in her next relationship. Definitely a 1 for me. What about you, Amy?
Yeah, I have to agree. It's really hard to go from that 5 to the 1. It's shocking, but it does kind of fit the pattern that we see when we see that great wedding and great connection at first, that it can go terribly wrong afterwards. So
yes. Very true. Yeah, I'm also 1. We're straight 1s.
I would enjoy it more if they were, if it was a couple where they were both at fault. It's these one-sided. I mean, I suppose I laid a lot at Brett's door, but I mean, they're sort of almost too boring to be enjoyable. You know, yeah, one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's. I don't see where we go from here. I just don't think that. I think it's the same case with like Ryan. Johnny's just not into Bao, which is so unfortunate. Bao is a catch. We just have to put it out there. I mean, same goes for Brett, but Bao is a catch. She is just, she enjoys life. She does things that she doesn't want to do. She's doing things. She's making sacrifices to appease him given the circumstances. And it's just showing that like, he doesn't even deserve her.
She has a fun draw, for God's sake. Come on. Who wouldn't want her? She's financially independent. She's gorgeous. She's fun. Yes, she is reserved and ticking things off, but she can be brought out of her shell. Her in the cheerleader outfit was fantastic. And she's got a draw full of fun. So, yeah, he's missing out.
Yeah. So last but certainly not least, we're going to go to the best couple this season. The couple where they're both unapologetically themselves, but Mirrorless on the next time on saying we should have gotten separate cabins. I died. I was just like, that is totally Mirla. But I'm like, I totally agree. She's like, we're dealing with these people who we don't know what they're going to do.
See, I thought they were trying to make it seem like that was some problem again with Mila and Gil, where it just,
we
need separate cabins from each other. It's like, no, they just, she doesn't want to be with all these people.
Yeah,
she doesn't. But she was very reserved at the bachelorette party. I think she has a close group, a small close group of friends, and it's with them that she'll have the 25 cent martinis. But she's reserved with her husband. I was very intrigued, sorry I'm jumping ahead now, but I was very intrigued when she talked about, I made a decision to love my husband. And I mean, they even have an argument about whether you decide to love someone or whether you love someone. They had that disagreement, and yet she stuck to her guns, he stuck to his, and they have had a kiss and they love each other. And not only is it a fabulous, I love this relationship, but I didn't like Merle as a person in the first two episodes, and I have very rapidly thought, oh, I'd get a drink with her anytime. I mean, she is, what it is she's all the things I thought she was, but I didn't realize she also had enormous self-awareness and very easily can laugh at herself.
Yeah.
That she is, I mean, Gil says to Pastor Carl that she is caring and loving. And we saw that immediately. She didn't wait for him to prove anything so that she would then be caring and loving. She was her version of caring and loving right from the start. And I am not at all ashamed to say I've completely changed my mind, not just about them as a couple, but about her as a woman. I think she's fabulous. I'd love to know more about her. And she got the best husband as well, because Gil's fabulous. So, you know.
Yes, I was a very early Gil, a very early member of the Gil fan club. Then we wavered a little bit, but then I pick back up my membership. I'm an active member, and we're doing great. And so this, Gil met with Pastor Cal. He's like, he's in a good place. He said he realized that like they get along because like he's passionate, she's passionate. Her being caring and loving, you know, that it has been great for him. They both don't sugarcoat anything, and they get into like the unanswered questions. And this was almost like pulling something, like, let me just dig in my bag and try to find something. Oh, okay. I think I found a mitt. He pulls out that, oh, when she gets in a mood, she can be a Debbie Downer. And so they like reference day three where she got an attitude on the honeymoon. I'm like, y'all, are you serious? Like, leave out the montage. We did not need that. But he did say, like, he's told her, like, okay, how her negativity can affect him sometimes. And he's like, look, she's an alpha at the end of the day. And I love that he said that, because it was like him acknowledging he knows his wife, and he just understands that's her. He's not like, oh, my wife's an alpha in a negative sense. Like, he knows that she has a dominant personality, and that's one of the reasons that he loves her. And that's why I feel like that's why they get along so well. So I thought his meeting with Pastor Cal went really well. How about you, Amy?
Yeah, I really got that sense that Pastor Cal was like, well, if there, could you see this as something that might lead you to say no on this today, like really wanting to just turn that other side of the drama? Cause
yeah,
usually it's like, okay, what would make you say yes?
Right. Exactly. So then Mirla shows up so lit. She has been, we find out she's been out drinking with her friends. Well, really, she has been to brunch, because she explains, hey, I was having some 25 cent martinis, and her eyes are like glazed over, and she's like, I'm feeling good. So I looked up where these 25 cent martinis are, and they're at Brennan's on Houston, which it's like Houston's best kept secret, these 25 cent martinis. And so I was like, okay, I definitely have to try this. They do limit 3 per customer.
I think she had all 3.
Right. Oh, for sure. And maybe like one of her friends. And so I was like, okay, they looked delicious. So in case anybody, I've never been to Brennan's. I've seen it. It's a little pricey, but hey, Mirla was there. So
put it on the itinerary.
Right. Adding it. So she's very smiley. And I think this is exactly what Mirla needed, to be open and honest with Dr. Pepper. And so she, like, the only thing that she wants to know at this point is she wants to know what he needs from her to make it work, because she knows she wants to make it work out. She just wants to know what he needs from her. And she's like, she's been honest and blunt. And Dr. Pepper was like, well, you know, a constant rain of criticism can change the mood. And then she starts bawling, thinking about how much she cares for him. She said he's so thoughtful. When she woke up this morning, she realized how grateful she is for him. She made the choice to love him. And she didn't think she would get everything she wanted and more. And she is so happy. So she just had this wide range of emotions that we would not see from Mirla had she not had those 25 cent martinis. So I thought this was hilarious.
Yeah, I didn't think I could love her more, but I do. What I particularly liked is her ability to appear almost as if she wasn't smashed.
Yeah.
And then there was just a little slurring Dr. Pepper, yeah. And she had to get her eyes to focus. And then at the end, she tries to, when she's talking to her husband, Gil, she tries to do a boop on his nose with her finger.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And he's just charmed. So she is what I like, which is I like a person who doesn't change when they drink. So she was a little bit more open and emotional, but she was the same person. And one thing I actually have noticed about Ryan and Brett is they all drink a lot, but Ryan and Brett always have alcohol in their hands. And I don't know whether that's the editing, but I think that's part of their lifestyle, whereas I think some of
the only way to get them to talk.
Well, basically, so it was sort of if we were with her, it would be charming, these 3 martinis. And to see her a little bit messy is not quite the right word, because she wasn't messy, but a little bit looser than she normally is.
Still, do you think the producers encouraged it? Like, oh, yeah, we can schedule this right around, you know, don't change your plans.
Yeah. They might
go right after.
Yeah. What would you normally do? Yeah, there's no way that they didn't either approve or go further and suggest this meeting.
Yeah. Because when she met up with Gil, she was, like you said, she was still on it. So I was like, oh, she, you know, it wasn't wearing off by any means when she was with Dr. Pepper. So he asks her about, like, you know, when she does, like, what's the root of, like, her, what's the root of her being a Debbie Downer? And she's like, she credits, like, her introvertness. And he's like, okay, what can I do when you get that way? Like, what? Just another example of Gil just being a great husband. And she's like, you can make me laugh, but that's, like, what you already do. And he said what he needs is, like, for her to be a little bit more considerate of other people and just try not to affect others when she does get in those moods. And he was like, oh, I have an idea. Like, when you get in those moods, just get a little bit more affectionate. And that was so, I was like, yes, trick her into more affection when she gets in those moods. But this is so funny because you could tell he just found it so endearing. And that she was so, like, loose and just feeling very happy because he was just laughing about it. It was like, had this been Johnny, he would have been so annoyed. Like, she can't even hold her liquor. She can't get it together. This is supposed to be a serious thing. I was just like, they found the perfect guy for Mirla. I loved it.
But she for him as well. I mean, right from the start, I was, you know, I had my membership stamped on in the Gil fan club. And I could see why he was good for her. And even through kind of warming to her and now adoring her, I was like, yeah, I can see why he's good for her, but I can see why she's good for him as well. He admires her. There's something where, and I think this is why when they have these group meetings, some of the other couples go off the deep end. There's a way that he looks at her, and it's not that there may be some lust there, but I think it's admiration. He looks at her like he can't believe his luck. Mm-hmm. He admires her as a person. And I think that's part of, you know, how they've grown closer together and how she's decided to love him, because he admires her as a person, which is signally lacking from some of the other relationships. And so I think where I finally came to why she is good for him is that, you know, they talk about, oh, well, she needs him because he challenges her. She challenges him as well.
She doesn't
give in when he, you know, checks her privilege and when he checks her spending. And you were talking about her allowing him to look for apartments. Part of that's practical because, you know, he has so many days off. But part of it, I think you're absolutely right that she doesn't want to be traipsing around open houses. Let him do that and then bring her the gems that he has found. And I think while that's good for Merla, I think that's great for Gil to feel, I don't want to say manly because that's such a bad way of describing what I mean, that he can serve, protect, embrace, lift her up. And she's such a strong, independent woman that to be able to do that for someone kind of redoubles that expression of love that he has. So, yeah, I'm just in love with them both. I can't hide it.
Yeah. Same. But we didn't really get much from them on, like, the next time on or the group volleyball, just them listening to the other couples and walking in, holding hands. But so with all that being said, where would you rate them?
Five.
Yeah. Same. Fives across the board.
What did we say in week two?
We said threes across the board.
Oh, okay.
A little bit indifferent. Right. Either way, yeah.
We kept the door open.
Right. Right. So on next week's episode, we do have the ranch retreat. It seems like it's going to be the Zach and Michaela show. So we will see what happens. There may even be more fireworks from any of the other couples. I mean, they all just continue to take turns about who is going to just grind my gears. So
we probably won't see a lot of Merla and Gil because we sort of know where they are and where they're going. Right. And we probably won't see a lot of Brett and Ryan because
they don't say anything.
They don't say anything and it's all over. Right. But yes, Michaela and Zach, and my heart is with both of them because I think, you know, it would be lovely if they could find loveliness, if mm-hmm. not with this couple, at least come through something and be kind of better for it.
Wow.
And then let's see what happens with the other unmentionables.
Right. That's the next show that's coming out.
Right. Oh, the Unmentionables, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So before we hop into this last little game we'll play, I will say definitely go head over to wherever you listen to your podcast and leave us a 5-star review. That'll be really helpful where you probably found this podcast on Reality TV Wrap Up. So definitely go leave us a 5-star review. We did get one 5-star review from Megan at Podcasting You. The subject was amazing content. She said, Asia and Amy do such a good job covering a variety of topics. The guests offer valuable insight as well. I would recommend this podcast to anyone looking to be entertained and informed. So thank you so much, Megan at Podcasting You.
So nice.
For the awesome feedback. And so right now we're going to creep into spoiler territory somewhat. So if you don't want to be, I'm not going to spoil anything specifically. I'm only going to spoil a situation that has happened. So no names will be involved. So if you want to hop out now, go ahead. We will be back next week to talk about episode 14. But if you want to listen in, we're just going to make some guesses about what we think is happening current present day. It's a spoiler. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. Right. So, Sarah and Amy, I'm going to have you make a guess. So, there has been a situation that has been spoiled out there. The names are out there. So if anybody wants to actually know the names, go look. It's everywhere. Instagram, Twitter,
so
Facebook.
You've seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything else.
Okay. So there are two people, a man and a woman from this season who are currently dating. According to the rumors, you know, it could be,
allegedly.
You know, yes. So allegedly there's a man and a woman who are dating who are not currently married on the show.
So kind of like Zach and Katie, like went on a date, you know, how that mm-hmm. came out at an after the final, not after the finals, right. But you know, after decision day kind of thing.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Oh, this is so intriguing.
So I want you to think through the five couples we have. And just kind of talk through who you think the guy could be and the girl.
So that means two couples for sure don't work out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take Merla and Gil out straight away because they're
it's beneath them anyway, even if they didn't stay together.
Yes, they wouldn't. Yes, absolutely. They're too dignified. Amy, what do you think of the girl being Bao?
It could be. I don't know that I can see her with anybody else.
Right. Okay.
I was thinking Michaela.
So, okay. All right. Talk to me about Michaela. Yes. Yes. That would be my other guess. I think Brett will need to, if Brett and Ryan don't. I just feel she's going to retreat again. She's had 2 years off. I think she.
So it's those three because we obviously know that Rachel and Jose have to stay together. Not that they have to, but they're going to.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Then, yeah, Mirla's out. So yeah. Okay, those three women.
Well, nobody would be foolish enough to go out with Johnny. So let's get rid of. Well, okay. So it's going to be. Well, if you think about the men, either Ryan has creeped on one of them. Mm. Can't quite see it. So I think the man has to be Zach, doesn't it? If we take Ryan out, it leaves Johnny and Zach.
But Johnny and Michaela were both like, not like flirty, but they were on the same side of everything they said on Unfiltered.
Ooh.
Against Bao.
So Johnny and Michaela. Wow, that's an interesting combo. Or Bao and Zach. Maybe. This just doesn't feel quite right, does it?
No.
Brett and Johnny. No, I can't see. All right, I'm gonna buy Johnny and Michaela.
Okay.
All right, that's it. Y'all are ringing in.
Yeah.
I was thinking Bao and Zach, but no, you've talked me round. you've changed my narrative. No, but I think you're right to think about like how they are. Yes, because he would find her open and exciting, and she would find him what? I don't know. What does she see in him? Let's just
I can't see any of these. I know Johnny said that he would want to be matched with literally anyone else, and I know that would make him think about all the other wives. Like, oh, what if I was matched with this person?
Yeah, I don't like to think of Ryan with anybody.
Yeah.
Ryan and Bao.
That's the other thing I was thinking is because.
Yeah, actually, that makes much more sense than Bao and Zach. Ryan and Bao, both very reserved.
Yeah,
she's an ornament for him.
She's
not an ornament, but for him, you know.
Apparently, he's like livelier in the groups.
Yes. Yes. And this theme of Brett not being his type has been said one time too many for it just to be because she has red hair. So interesting.
She's clean.
Right.
She's clean, but she's not, you know, to the Johnny
True.
Degree.
Bao and Ryan.
Are Bao and Brett really close, though? I don't know.
No, I don't know if Bao's who had a nice no Brett and Merla are close.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's possible.
All right. So do you want to put
your two? Who are y'all locking in?
Because both the men that we're involving in these fantasy relationships are repellent. It's very hard. Yeah. I think Michaela would eat Johnny alive. I'm gonna say Bao and Ryan.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
All right.
Who knows?
So that's recorded. We have that here. So whenever we talk about it later this season, we'll see if y'all are correct or not. So listeners, if you want to know what the answer is, it's out there. Go look it up anywhere. But that was fun to hear y'all talk through that. I like the logic.
Yeah, it's interesting that we didn't really consider Zach at all with any of the.
Well, if he's such a perfectionist.
Yeah, I just can't. No, I can't see it.
He's the youngest too.
No, I'm happy with our choice. Because either we'll be right, which is very pleasurable, or we'll be wrong. And the pleasure is that Ryan doesn't get a nice woman. So we're very happy about that too.
All right. Awesome. It was so nice having you on, Sarah. Thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come on again.
Oh, it was my absolute pleasure.
Where can people find you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Sarah Carradine.
Awesome. Amy, where can people find you?
You can find me podcasting about the upcoming season of The Bachelorette with Haley Strong. And Asia, you joined us for the draft. So that's just recently out. So go check that out in the Reality TV Rehab Ups feed or The Bachelorette Rehab Up feed. And on Twitter at RJP Recapper.
Nice. Yeah, I swear this is the most I've known about a full cast before the season has started, like ever. Because I never like read all the bios. I just I just watch it and learn what I can.
It makes night one, like it makes the premiere a lot more fun. Like you're like, actually recognize that person.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, y'all can find me on Twitter at Asia Like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A, like A-S-I-A. Well, I'll be podcasting here every week about Married at First Sight. Now the Big Brother is done. You know, just watching, I have time to watch other shows, which is just, is amazing.
But Big Brother gossip is just getting started.
I know. Yes. If you have not seen, we have a new relationship with Claire and Derek X. So yeah, I've just been, they've been calling it Big Brother 23.5. So I've been keeping up with that. Everyone who's living at Todrick Hall's house, it's been a treat. Kind of, it'll hold us over until Celebrity Big Brother. So happy about that. And then Survivor has just been amazing. I've been loving Survivor. All right, everyone, thank you so much for sticking with us. And as, like I just said, thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us again. And we will see you guys next week. Bye.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.